Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Moore is our scheduled guest, and Jay Moore is not here just yet, so we'll sit tight and... Oh, you got him? You got the number. All right, we're going to get him on the phone here. We'll get him back in here quickly. In the meantime, we will take some of your calls. Again, that phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Just producer Ann's running around here trying to get Jay's phone number so we can get him in here. So here now is Alex. Alex, what's happening?
Hey, Dr. Drew. You're
Alex,
my freaking hero. Okay, me and my friends, we have 7 phones calling Loveline. We probably called like 1,000 times.
And
we want to know if...
You did it. You got through. First call of the night.
Yay.
Yay.
No,
sounds very excited, Alex. Very excited.
Yeah, I know. We want to know if a baby can have an erection in the womb.
Well, let's reason backwards. Why wouldn't they be able to?
Because they're babies?
Yeah, but babies have erections all the time. And there really is not, it's not as though inside the womb and outside the womb, they're different biological entities. They're just a little more developed outside. And in the womb, actually pretty early on, they get actually exposed to quite high levels of testosterone. The male babies, obviously, they produce quite a bit. And so, yeah, there can be a little bit of action. It's all a nitric oxide-mediated phenomenon that causes a dilatation, the opening of the vessels in the penis. And, yes, that can happen spontaneously. It doesn't mean they're aroused, but it can just happen.
I'm on.
Yes, you're on. Alex, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Oh, okay.
Why does that seem so weird to you?
Just because they're babies and...
Yeah, babies get that kind of... Babies get that outside the womb, too.
I had no idea.
Okay, it's not as though they're aroused. Again, this is just sort of a part of the, you know, the diurnal rhythms of their hormonal systems and the vascular system that result... It's not like they get a, you know, any... They're not ready for action.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, to mess for whatever reason, so... All right?
Okay.
All right, Alex. You're going to be all right. You okay otherwise?
Yeah.
This is your chance. You've been calling us through 7 lines. Any other questions you got while I got you here?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The National Radio Show, no problem.
Oh.
Hello.
Hi there, what's your name?
Austin.
Austin, what's going on?
Nothing here.
You have any questions?
I just wanted to say hi. I've been listening for like 6 months now, like every night.
Fantastic. We're glad you're listening.
All right, thanks.
Think of some more good questions. Call me back, all right? Fantastic. Jessica, what's happening there?
Hi. I actually just had a question. Everyone I've ever dated has stalked me, and I don't know what I am possibly doing to make every single one of them be stalkers, even people I just meet.
Yeah, Anderson just whispered in my ear, I agree. It's the way you talk. They can't resist that. How many guys have there been?
Every single one of them, like 15 or 20.
15 or 20.
And I work in a small strip club around here, and like I just started there, and now more than ever, like it's crazy. There's like girls hitting at me everywhere, and I just like they stalk me. Like they find me outside of work at like gas stations, and all kinds of crazy things happen. I meet everyone I've met, like, I know any possible person from a gas station anywhere. Like, I just found out tonight that I know one of my friend's cousins from a gas station, and I hung out over there recently, and, like, I don't know, like...
Hold on. Slow down. What do you do at the said gas station? That you just hang while you're pumping gas and meet people?
Well, I don't know.
Or is the gas station the name of the strip club? And what?
Well, I don't know, like, okay, I just somehow am at gas stations a lot and meet people at gas stations a lot.
Who are you with there? Who's talking with you?
What?
Who's in the background?
I think it's the TV in the other room.
Somebody talking to you.
What?
Is nobody there with you?
Oh, yeah, she just walked in the room for a second.
Oh, I see. But you're all, Jessica, what happened to you growing up? What are you running away from? And how old were you when you left your family of origin? What kind of family did you leave, Jessica? What was it like? Just awful?
I don't know. My parents are divorced, and my dad's crazy and doesn't want to work. My brother's crazy.
Were you sexually abused growing up?
Me? Yeah.
Okay. Do you understand that that's why you do the things you do and why you attract the guys that are maybe unstable? And you sort of enlist guys in this dance that's, I mean, you don't want it, but you attract these certain kind of guys that are going to just reenact the abuse that you've experienced when you were younger.
That is really good advice.
Yeah, that's how that works. And the stripping, if you really don't want to be around guys that...
I'm not a stripper.
You just hang out at a strip club.
No, I'm a waitress.
At a strip club?
Yeah, and they stalk me, and not the stripper.
Yeah, by the way, excuse me for imagining that you worked at a strip... Well, you said you worked at a strip club, that you might be a stripper.
That's okay. It happens a lot.
But be that as it may, maybe that's not a great environment for you if this kind of behavior and these kinds of relationships are troublesome to you. Maybe you're not in the best environment for meeting kind of people that you want to meet. What do you think?
Yeah, I guess. That's true.
All right. You think on that one. You think on that, my dear. I think there's maybe better days ahead for you if you make a career change. Sam.
Hey, what's up?
What's happening there?
Nothing, man. My question was, my girlfriend is really, really bad at giving blowjobs.
I've talked to a lot of guys about that, and they always claim there's no such thing. What does that mean?
I've had them before. And they've been great. This girl, I cannot. I've never come. She's giving me a blowjob or anything.
What does she do?
I don't know. Just doesn't do it well. I'm not sure.
Hey Sam, you called us. I'm sorry for interrupting you this evening, but you're telling me something is very wrong with what she does. I've never talked to another young male who's ever been able to approximate the description of a bad experience with oral sex, so I'm wondering what made it bad.
I don't know. I guess she doesn't really get into it or anything. I don't know. She just doesn't try that hard.
Maybe she isn't into it. Maybe she doesn't like doing it. Maybe you shouldn't force her to do that.
I don't really. She'll offer it, and I'll be like, okay.
Tell her that she doesn't seem into it. You feel like you're forcing her to do something she doesn't want to do, and that's all. Jana?
Hi.
Hey, what's your name there?
It's Jana.
Jana, what's happening, Jana?
Hi. I've been with this guy for about the past 5 months or so, and he just recently got out of a marriage. And I'm trying to figure out if I'm like the rebound girl.
If you're the rebound?
Yeah, uh-huh. I mean, I'm a pretty smart girl, and I can normally figure these kind of things out, but he's just so perfect, and I'm, not ready to just let him go because I think I deserve him. But if he's, if I'm just, he's rebounding.
Hold on a second. How long ago was he divorced?
They've been separated for about a year and a half, and I think he finalized his divorce about 6 or 7 months ago.
If you want to ask to see the papers, I immediately get he's not divorced.
No, he definitely is divorced.
How do you know?
I've known him for a really long time.
How do you know he's divorced? How do you know?
Well, I know her pretty well, and she's...
How do you know her?
Divorced.
How do you know
we
her?
Jesse and I went to high school together, and we've been pretty good friends on and off.
Okay, she's not bothered by you dating her ex-husband?
I think that it was, they were really young when they got married. I'm only 23, he's 24.
Well, let me translate again. She doesn't know that you're dating the ex-husband, does she?
No, she absolutely does. She absolutely does. I talked several times. Me and Amanda, we're kosher. We're not pals, but, she's aware. And
she's okay with it.
Family and,
Okay.
But I just can't help but feel like it's a rebound because, everything is going so perfectly. And, you know, why would this girl have given him up if he's so perfect? And, you know, I dread having that conversation with her because I don't want her to feed all these ridiculous thoughts into my head about, you know, what an ass he is or, you
know. Tell me more about him. Why did they break up?
Well, like I said, they were really young, and he's in the Marines, and they both agree that they get along better when he's not home. And, you know, there's not really much
than
that, according to the both of them.
You know, sometimes it's not the individual, it's the couple that doesn't work right. It's something about the both of them, and indeed they were young. However, it's still the fact that you aren't willing to ask the questions leads me to suspect that there's something there, you just don't want to hear it. So, what do you think might be there, by the way?
Huh?
What do you think might be there? What are we going to find out when you ask that question to the girlfriend?
I'm afraid that she's going to, because I know how upset I would be. I don't particularly believe in divorce. I really don't. Yeah.
So what do you think she's going to have said?
You know, cheated? The worst thing that I could imagine her saying is that he just never paid any attention to her. Okay. And
I don't think you're going to hear. You're going to hear something like he cheated or there was some domestic violence or something. Something that really put things over the edge finally. Or she cheated, maybe.
Really,
who knows?
I really don't think that it would be either of those things.
All right. Well, ask. Then ask. Why not?
You know what? I mean, it's a good point. And, you know, when I finally grow testicles enough to do it, I'll do it.
And especially, it's sort of a great situation for you to find out what happened because you know the girl.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've kind of been friends, and she'd tell you.
I'm just afraid she might be a little bitter, and I know that how I would be.
Well, but take it through that prism. You know, consider the source a little bit. But if she says he hit me, or he cheated, that's information that you should be appraised of. So check it out, Bob.
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you doing?
Fill me in.
Here's the best way I can describe it. The simplest way is that it's the difference between. Smoking a pipe and sucking on a lollipop. When a girl's sucking on a lollipop, she gets her tongue in there, you get it in and around and up and down, and, you know, this kid's talking about a girl that just goes in and out, in and out, in and out, and that doesn't do it for him. I've had that blowjob. I know what he's talking about. So that's the best way I can describe it. Does that make sense to you?
No, I hear you, but how would you describe the uninspired one?
The uninspired one. That's a little tougher.
Just uninspired. Is that enough?
It's uninspired. The best way to put it. I think it's a good blowjob. You're sucking on a lollipop. That's what it is.
But as uninspired, unpleasant experiences go, you got to admit it's amongst the best, I suppose.
It's
right?
It's true. It's a lot like pizza.
Okay. Well, that guy was making it sound like it was something deadly unpleasant. And that was what it really was irritating about him, and he sounded really. Sort of unfairly frustrated with the young lady who may not know or may not like or who knows. Why does he talk to her?
Sure.
Right?
And, you know, he just didn't have the vocabulary to describe it.
He sure did not, and I appreciate you calling in and enlightening us about that. Desiree.
Yeah?
What's happening, Desiree?
Well, I have been dating this guy, and he said he cared about me, but when he found out that I self-injured, he said I was crazy and he broke up with me.
How old is this guy?
He is 19.
Well, thank God he broke up with you, Desiree. That 19-year-old, you didn't have sex with that guy, did you?
We got close to it, but we never went far enough.
I mean, that guy's a criminal. I don't know how else to say this to you guys except to repeat over and over that when you're 19 and you look around and you think about one of your 19-year-old peers, somebody the same age of you when you're 19, dating a 13-year-old, the guy that does that will actually make you vomit. That is a sick guy. And I know it's very flattering and exciting and, a 19-year-old, this guy is an a-hole. Well, the whole world almost came out. And thank God he broke up. He didn't care anyway because he's exploiting you because only... That's what a 19-year-old would do with a 13-year-old, just take advantage. And number two, the fact that you cut probably just scared him and woke him up to the fact that he could really hurt you, which he kind of did already. So just count your blessings. Do you have a therapist or somebody?
I do. I'm going to counseling. I've already been to Detmer.
Great. To what?
Detmer. It's an institutional place.
Do you need to go back?
I've already been there. I just got back.
Just recently?
Yeah.
Did this breakup send you down that road?
Well, he broke up with me a week ago, and I don't know what's going on.
Was that while you were in the hospital?
Huh?
Was that while you were in the hospital?
Well, that was part of why, but I still don't know why he...
I'm going to ask the question again. Did he break up with you while you were in the hospital?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, stay with the people who are taking care of you. It's a good thing. I know it feels bad. It's a good thing. Mike?
Yeah.
You're on Love Line.
Hey, love your show.
Thank you.
I guess this is no, you know, it's always a story. It's not me. It's a friend, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, friend, right.
Yeah, some buddies of mine, we're sitting there talking about some funeral directors that have been banned from actually participating because of necrophilia.
Jeez.
And the question that came up was, can you actually catch an STD, say, herpes or AIDS, for that matter, off a corpse? Which would, in a way, be a sweet punishment, but...
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Not once the tissue's really dead. Then that's one of the problems with diseases that kill the host, mm-hmm. is that it also kills the pathogen.
Oh, okay. Because yeah, once the tissue starts to break down and fluid starts seeping out, I could see something like, you know, herpes or something like that not making it, but I thought, well, AIDS, maybe it's a little more persistent.
No, it's not. It's even less so. But I worry about certain bacteria that already grow in that area, but they're not really the STD bacteria.
Oh.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, take care now. This is Kelly. Hey, Kelly, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
Sorry, that was a little enthusiastic. I was actually, can I ask my question?
Yes, you may.
I was wondering how, like, the penis margarine Austin Powers works and, like, if it's painful or...
In Austin Powers?
Like, it's called, like, a penis pump, I guess.
You want to describe it to me a little bit?
It's like a tube and there's a hole on the top and I guess you put it in and pump.
like you pump it like a bicycle pump?
I guess so. That's what it looked like. But, like, are they not real, or?
They are real, but they don't really work.
They don't really work?
What's the situation, Kelly?
There is no situation. I'm just kind of wondering, because, like, I saw it on Austin Powers, and I didn't know if, like, it pumps air into it, or?
No, it pumps air into the penis. Yes, like, so it blows it up just like a big, like those clowns that do the make the poodles and things out of the long balloons. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Kelly?
Kelly. No, it's not. Oh, my God. You put air in, look, Kelly, you put air in body tissue. That blows bacteria in. You're going to die of an infection. You're going to lose your phallus.
Okay.
Okay? Here's the deal. Let's think about it this way. First of all, if they worked, how much do you think they cost?
Probably a lot.
Right. They're like $20 in the back of every man's magazine, number one. Number two, if they worked, do you think guys would go so far as to need surgeries ever? Because they just stop at the penis pump, right?
Yeah.
And in reality, the only way to add significant girth and or length is with surgery. And the surgeries they do are basically they pull the skin of the penis down and sew in cadaver tissue. It looks kind of like a Pop-Tart. And then pull the skin back up. And then they also cut the ligament, the suspensory ligament, from the penis to the pelvic bone, and that pulls it forward about an inch. And that's about it.
Ew. Okay.
Hey, Kelly, what do you do for a living?
I'm a college student, actually.
Really?
Yes.
Junior college?
No. I go to Cal Poly.
Cal Poly...
San Luis Obispo?
San Luis Obispo. Were you in the audience when I spoke there?
I wanted to be, but I had to go to the orientation training.
Ah, well, maybe we'll learn all this then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it's beautiful up there anyway.
Yes.
What are you studying?
I'm studying chemistry.
Chemistry?
Yes.
And where were you from originally?
Do you know the Bay Area at all?
Yeah.
Lafayette,
okay. Well, maybe a little biology, too, while you're doing your chemistry courses. That'd be great for you, Kelly. It'd be excellent. This is Jennifer.
Yes?
Hey, Jennifer, what's happening?
I'm sorry. Am I on right now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm 20 years old, and I have been seeing somebody who's a lot older than me for about 4 or 5 months, and I was just wondering what my problem is.
How old is the guy?
47.
47, and you're 19?
I'm 20. Oh, I'm almost 21.
Hmm. Well, forget it. It's perfectly fine, then. Perfectly fine. In fact, yeah, go for it. Okay. How'd you meet this guy?
We worked together.
Please don't let me say it's her doctor. What kind of work does he do?
I really don't want to say right now because I just don't want to give out too much information.
Well, what kind of work do you do?
I'm serving right now. I went back to waitressing.
Restaurant managers are notorious for this kind of stuff.
No. He's not. He does not work in the restaurant business. He has nothing to do with that.
But you said you worked together.
I left. I already quit the place. We've been together. We've been seeing each other for about 5 months. We worked together for about that much time, and then I just actually recently left about a month ago and went back to serving tables.
I see. You left the job where he was.
Right.
All right. So this relationship is screwing up your life already just by virtue of having to quit your job, right?
No. I hated the job.
Okay.
I hated what I was doing.
Okay. Well, let's think about it this way. Where is this relationship going?
I don't know. Nowhere. It's obviously not able to go anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine, let's say you get married.
Okay.
Just imagine like you're 23 and you get married. He's 50.
Okay.
When you're 40, he'll be 70.
Right.
When you're 50, you'll be taking care of him and changing his diapers.
No, I realize that, but I don't know why. I'm starting to really, really like him, and I know all this. I'm not stupid. I know that this isn't able to go anywhere, but I'm just wondering. I don't know how to stop. I've tried to stop, but I just can't. I don't.
What is it that's so what's so compelling about it?
I don't know. He's really good looking. He does not look as old as he is.
Did you lose your dad when you were young or something?
I knew you were going to say this.
Well, did you?
He left when I was about 10, but I still talk to him and everything. I was never sexually abused, nothing
like
that.
Okay, well, just the fact that I picked up on your dad leaving and I asked that question has nothing to do with this. Nothing. How could it? I randomly thought of that. It came completely out of the top of my head. It has nothing to do with what's going on with you.
Oh, my gosh, don't yell at me.
Of course it has a lot to do with what's going on here. Come on. Now, that's not maybe so much why you like this guy and why you chose this guy, but it may have a lot to do with why you can't stop.
Okay.
And if you really can't stop, you can sort of approach it one of a couple of ways. One, you could just take your chances and go for it. I mean, the worst things have happened to people.
Okay.
Number two, you can deal with this as an addiction and go cold turkey and give yourself a six-month hideout period where you just cut off with this guy somehow, but you got it like just like you're cutting off a heroin habit, cut him off completely and give it 6 months. No contact. And then finally, you can find yourself a therapist and kind of work your way through this a little bit. See where it goes.
Okay.
You got some other choices? You got some other ideas?
No. I was just kind of wondering, I just wanted to kind of know, some insight of why you think I might be doing this.
Has nothing to do with your dad. Nothing. We've established that. On top of that, is nothing to do with compulsive behaviors, because I've advised you how to deal with that, and that couldn't have anything to do with what you should do. Come on, Jennifer.
Okay.
I'm giving you some specific advice. You don't want to hear it. You don't want to stop. Fine. Don't. That's up to you. This is your life. You make your choices. You see what happens. Okay?
Okay.
All right, my dear. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. This is Loveline. I don't know where the hell Jay Moore is. You get a hold of man? Phone? Anything? Well, we're going to talk during the commercial. Be right back. That's right. It's Loveline. The number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Jay Moore is scheduled to be here. Blew me off for dinner on Friday night, too. I was supposed to have dinner with him. He blew that off, too, so I don't know. I said something wrong to him. All right, here is Emily. Emily, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey.
I love your show. I love you. Awesome show. I've like been listening to it for like a year straight, every single night.
Cool.
I know this guy. Well, actually, I saw this guy. It was kind of on the internet. He has a crooked dick, and it's really weird. And
crooked meaning zigzaggy or like curve, like a half moon, or what are we talking here?
Well, like the head, it's really weird because like when he has an erection, the shaft points up and the head points down. When I'm talking to my friends.
Sounds like you're talking to your friends right now. If we hear them in the background, they should enjoy. By the way,
I'm
glad they're having such a good time on your expense or your boyfriend's expense.
Yeah.
So it curves up and then the head suddenly takes a turn towards Mecca, towards the
It's really strange.
Yeah. You know what the curve up is kind of a normal thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the sudden the hockey stick thing, the sudden pulling down of the head.
Yeah.
That's most often a problem with the circumcision.
Really?
Like the circumcision went a little wrong and scarred and pulled it down to that side. Yeah, that's usually what does that.
Okay. Well,
yeah, so don't make too much fun of him.
Okay, no. I didn't say anything to him about it.
It says here in the little box I'm reading about what your question is, says boyfriend's penis looks like a horse's head.
Yeah, that's what I describe it as. I mean, you see the neck and then you see the head pointing down. You know, the neck goes up and then the head points down.
Right.
That's what it looks like.
Is there a big mane on the top, too? Is a couple?
No, there's no mane.
No mane. Okay.
No, I would hope not. That would be kind of even weirder.
That would look a little bit weird, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can straighten these things out, but it's an operation. And if he's not having pain, if he's able to have erection, if it doesn't hurt his partners, whomever they might be, it's fine.
Okay, so it's not going to, get stuck or anything?
No, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
You're 16. Are you planning to have, you're a little young. You have a plan having sex with this guy?
Huh? Oh, no. This guy's kind of weird. No, I wouldn't do that with him. But, would they have any trouble urinating or anything?
No, if they did, again, you'd intervene and give that guy an operation. How did you happen to see this guy's erect penis if he's not your boyfriend?
Well, it was on a webcam.
A webcam?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah.
You have friends? You hang out in little web communities and show each other your genitalia?
No, I don't even know how I met this guy, but, he wanted a show with me, so I said, well, okay, and I was just doing something else on the internet, and I saw it, and I was like, what is this?
Hey, Emily?
Yeah.
Let's learn a little something here, okay?
Okay.
When guys say, hey, let me do something very bizarre for you, what are you going to say?
I don't think so.
No. Come on. More.
Huh?
No. Emily, okay. No. It's going to be no. No way. Get out of here. Scat.
Okay.
Beat it. That's what you say. Get out of here, okay?
Okay.
You remember that. Beat it. That's what you tell him. Get out of here.
Okay.
All right. It's like you're getting the cattle out of the barn. And they grow up. Loopy.
Yeah.
What's happening? You're on the Love Line.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
Hey, what's happening, buddy?
Well, I'd like to say I've been listening on and off for a long time. I've been moving around, but every time I can get your show, it's awesome.
Very kind.
A current theme on the show is how they're always these predators,
yep.
And they're prey. Well, is it that they seem to sniff out these predators through sheer magic?
How do the victims sniff out the predators, or how do the predators sneak out the prey?
Either way, vice versa. Is it?
Yeah,
body
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I wish I understood that. We speak to one another on very primitive levels, things that we're not even aware of in terms of what our right brain, our left brain is sort of where our language is and our rational sides of our brain are to some extent. And our right side is more of an emotional, holistic part of the brain. And we communicate with one another with that part, and there's some sort of fittedness between somebody that's been victimized and a victimizer, and they sort of know it. They're aware of it, and they experience it as attraction. Most of the victims are very attracted to victimizers. It's almost like they have to reenact the trauma. So they're drawn to those people. The victimizers, I don't know how they know that's maybe the only people that are ever attracted to them are people that want to be victimized. Maybe that's the only kind of person that would ever think about being with them, so that's just the way they always are. Or maybe that's the way they always are, and the non-victims tell them to beat it, and the other ones hang out, and they can tell, you know, if somebody hangs, that's the one. I'm going to be able to work my magic on that one. So I don't know. I really wish I understood it better, but I agree with you. It's a little mysterious.
Now, is there any way that one can sort of, because I have a lot of friends, and I've noticed that I sort of hang out with people that have, like, not necessarily all of them have had some sort of victimization, but I mean.
But you're the rescuer. You're the fixer.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah, good times.
One word.
Was your mom an abuse victim of some type?
My dad used to yell at her, and, like, I don't remember him specifically hitting her.
I don't mean any kind of overt abuse. I just wonder if you sort of, again, is that fittedness, if you just kind of fit with the abuse survivors, that's people you sort of are attracted to, you like being around, you like fixing them. And some guys get a lot of gratification out of that. They sort of, self-worth is sort of fueled by it.
I'm looking to change that. Is there any sort of, I mean, I know you're saying it's like very.
Yeah, I actually wrote a book about this. It's called Cracked. It might help you. The only really thing that's going to help is therapy, frankly. Or Al-Anon. You can go to Al-Anon, do 12-step, get a sponsor. That helps too, doing 12-step work. But it's not something, because, again, this is that right side of the brain that is very holistic and not very rational and needs experiential change. And that's kind of a vague idea. We think in terms of change as being problem-solving, which is an intellectual process. Well, sometimes, well, more often than not, when it comes to emotional health and interpersonal experiences, you need experiential change. You need to experience things in the presence of another person that changes how you experience yourself, and that's what therapy is. Jordan? Jordan?
Oh, what?
Hey, caller who goes by Jordan. What's happening, buddy?
Sorry about that. Sorry, I was busy.
Yeah, you're listening to me. You're just lost in thought.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sure. What's happening?
Nothing really, just sitting here.
What's your question, buddy? Let's go.
I've been told that sneezing is like a partial orgasm. Is that true?
No. Next?
It's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you hear that?
My friend, they told me that, pretty much.
Well, most 14-year-olds are experts in human physiology, so yeah, just generally take their advice, that kind of thing. Hey, Jennifer, what's happening?
Hello?
Hey, what's happening?
Oh, hi, Dr. Drew. Do you remember me from last night?
Tell me more about you.
I had the extra set of lips, and my boyfriend was an ass, you called him?
Yes, I do. Well, let's reset this up again. Your boyfriend saw you for the first time.
Yeah.
Without your fully clothed.
Yeah.
And freaked out and told you to have an operation or something?
Yeah, he said that he wouldn't have sex with me until I, like, got it fixed or had an operation.
And it, as I recall, was just the fact that you had prominent internal lips.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's an ass a-hole, I beg your pardon. Sorry, Anderson.
Anyways, yeah. But I just wanted to tell you that your talk to me last night meant so much, and I dumped him today when I saw him because
good.
I figured that no other guy.
Good.
He didn't.
I hope. Did he seem ashamed of himself for having behaved like that?
No, he called me a lot of dirty words and, like, flipped out and left my house, so.
And what? He what?
He, like, freaked out and started yelling at me and said that he wasn't good. He's glad that he's not dating a freak and blah, blah, blah.
That's who that guy is, Jennifer. Thank God you broke up with him. Aren't you relieved? You see who he is?
Hmm?
Do you see who he is? What an awful person to come after you like that? I mean, aren't you relieved to be rid of this guy?
I'm very relieved.
Oh, my God. That's what you were in for with this guy, is more abuse and verbal abuse and hostile, aggressive behaviors. That is not, you do not deserve that. That is not a good guy. Learn from this one. Go get a nice one. Put your hook in the pond again. There'll be a nice one on the hook next time, okay?
All right.
You call me back when you get a happy relationship going.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Drew, for everything.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Still no Jay Moore. I'm about giving up on him, I got to say. Let's see. Let's. Should we take one more call, Anderson? All right. Here is Gordon. Hey, Gordon.
Yes.
What's happening, buddy?
I have two questions for you tonight.
All right.
The first one is with my new partner. I've been falling out of her a lot lately, and afterwards, I've been getting really dizzy to the point where I can't really walk afterwards. And I was wondering if that's anything to worry about.
First of all, what do you mean falling out? What does that mean?
Like going too far out and completely falling out.
What does that mean? You mean you're having like, sex and your penis pulls out in the backstroke and never goes back in?
Yeah.
Why is that happening?
I don't know.
You have a small penis, you fag. Thank you, Edison. Have you ever had this problem before?
No, I haven't.
Have you ever been with anybody else before?
Yes, I have.
Once before?
No, five before.
Five girlfriends before this?
Yeah.
You're 17, dude.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Normally I would call this out as bogus, but I'm just going to go for it here. And then now you also get lightheaded upon completion of the act? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm more concerned about the lightheadedness than anything. Does the room actually spin?
It seems like it, but it's not major, but it does seem like it's spinning.
No. You're going to have to be very specific with me. Is it like you're walking on a ship and the floor is moving, or the building is stationary, but you see it spinning around you? Which
it's
is
like
it?
I'm walking on a ship.
Walking on a ship. Okay. And have you ever had anything like this before?
No, I haven't.
Do you have any history of migraines or headaches or anything else?
I get a really bad migraine afterwards.
Oh, really? Seriously?
Yeah.
And is it only following orgasm?
Yeah.
I actually would see a doctor about this. This kind of thing, there are post-orgasm migraines, but there are also post-orgasmic headaches that are nothing, and finally there are those that really are indicative of something more serious. So the fact that it's associated with other neurological symptoms, let me ask this, do you get any numbness or tingling anywhere?
No.
Any vision changes? Any black spots in your vision? Anything of that sort?
No, it just seems like I'm wobbling when it seems like the room's sort of...
I understand that. I do think you ought to see a doctor about to have a careful neuro exam just to make sure, because it can be a first sign of something a little more serious, and I doubt that it is in your case, but just to be careful, I think it's important you get this thing completely checked out. Post-orgasmic headaches are usually not a big deal. They can be migraineous, and when they are migraineous, they tend to be a little more of a deal, and it also can be associated with more significant kinds of neurological problems. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're taking your calls. I'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us a call. We're going to go right to calls. I've given up on Jay Moore, and this now is Sean.
Hi.
Hey, Sean, what's happening?
Nothing much. All right, so my girlfriend and I just recently, we've been talking about, fisting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been going out for... a little over 3 years.
She wants to do that to you?
No. Vaginal fisting.
Ah.
And, yeah. Talking about it, and she seems pretty enthusiastic about it. I'm just concerned for, I just don't want to hurt her.
Yeah, I would be concerned, too.
Yeah. Because, I don't have small hands. I wouldn't say, and I just think that maybe, is there a way to maybe work up to
nope.
that?
Nope.
No.
Well, I'm sure there is, but not that I can recommend. So, is there a question here?
Well, is there a way to just, instead of just going straight into it, is there a... easier way, or maybe there, something that might be just
there
as,
must be something, I imagine. Maybe the adult stores have something to help you with.
Yeah.
Sean, you really think I'm going to give this a resounding endorsement? Like, hey, carry on. Enjoy. Yeah, you might tear her, septum, but what are you going to do? So on. I don't know where you want me to go with that. It's not something I would recommend. Nick.
Yes.
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Dr. Drew? I want to let you know I'm a big fan from New York, and I came out to L.A.
Nice. What are you doing out here?
I'm doing postgraduate training in clinical pharmacy.
Fabulous.
Yeah. It's a good feeling to be out here and doing this. But my question is, actually, I'm in a long-term committed relationship with someone that I met out in pharmacy school about 4 years ago. And we both did postgraduate or are doing postgraduate training right now. And she
What's your postgraduate work in?
Mine's at the Gay and Lesbian Center over at Hollywood.
It's, and what are you doing?
It's a huge HIV AIDS center.
Oh, so you're prepping the protocols?
Yeah, anything that's HIV and pharmacy related. So I see patients one-on-one. I do adherence programs, medication.
Fabulous. Wonderful. Yeah. That's a great program. Okay.
And so my significant other is doing psychiatric care over in Cleveland. So she's doing her postgrad in psych. I'm doing my postgrad in infectious disease.
Hey, can I ask you a question? This is going to sound bizarre, but I just admitted a patient tonight that had a... He couldn't tell me what his cocktail was. And he had pills, and one was blue that had, like, A-L-E-G-I-A-N on it. Do you know what that would be?
Was it a capsule or a tablet?
I think it was a capsule. The nurse was describing it to me, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
If it was a protease inhibitor, most likely the blue one is Raytaz.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
Keep going. It's your friends in psych.
Okay. So, basically, I'm out here, and I've been with this person for 4 years. And it's the first time I've been in a long-distance relationship. And so when I first came out here, I was thinking to myself, well, I'm going to be out here. You know, I know I'm going to get married to this person. Why don't I go out with a bang and, you know, do what I want to do. And then when I finish the program, I'll come back to New York and get married and have this happy old life and all that.
Yeah.
And what I'm realizing is, you know, I'm out here and I'm just dating all these different women and having a good time. There's that 3-hour time difference and all this stuff. And so when she's going to bed, I'm going out and doing my thing. And I just feel like it's very unhealthy. And I just feel like...
Does she not know about this?
Right. That's another big thing.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah. And if she was to know... And it's not like we left like, oh, it's an open relationship and you can do what you want and I can do what I want. And then we get back to New York and everything's going to be fine.
Maybe you should do that. Maybe you should leave it at that. I mean, you're 24. That's a good time to kind of do that and see if this is really who you want to spend your life with.
I know. I mean, that's the thing. And I feel like if I open myself up and let her know about this, I'm going to potentially lose her, but then at the same respect, I feel like if I am going to be with this person, I have to let it all out on the table. And I'm torn between that and, you know, and then again, I am also questioning myself as to, well, why am I actually doing all this stuff? Is this the right person?
Guys very commonly go, listen, I've known a lot of guys that actually feel that they've screwed up the relationship or missed the opportunity with the right person. But because the timing was so wrong for them, they knew they had to go out and date, that they still know they couldn't have made the relationship work with the right person without having done, so to speak, what they needed to do.
You're right, and that was a little bit of my mentality.
And I'm telling you, I'm not sure it's a mentality. I think for some guys that's a reality. And to try to force yourself into a relationship before you're ready or a commitment, that's asking for trouble, I think.
Right.
And probably what you ought to do is be completely honest with yourself. I don't know that you have to hurt her by telling her that you've already embarked on your little journey, but belly up and say, I need this time. I need it alone. Can we just pretend like we're not dating just so I feel like I have my life out here? It's too hard to stay connected over this distance. You are the one. If I say, just spill it out. You are the one. If I mess this up, I will never forgive myself, but it's just the way it has to be right now.
You know, the thing is, I'm finishing up this postgraduate training already, and I've been out here for a year. And now, so she's expecting me to come back to New York, and I've...
Are you ready?
Well, the thing is, I want to reciprocate my pharmacy license to New York, and that's going to take another 6 months, and I plan on practicing out here and making money and yada,
yada,
yada.
You're not ready. You're not ready yet.
Yeah, and she's...
You're not ready.
In 6 months, you know, he'll be back, and I'm just like, God damn, you know?
Nick, I hear your pain. It's not something you're going to solve in 3 minutes on the radio. You're thinking pretty clearly on this, but I think you got to
It's going to sound just ridiculous the way I'm going to say this, but you got to be a man about this one. You got to be honest. You got to step up and do what's right. And there's nothing wrong with what you're feeling. What's wrong is that you've delayed taking action, and as a result, you're doing things that are bad. Bad for a relationship you care, bad for somebody you care very much about, and it could really hurt her, and what you're doing is what's going to really sacrifice this relationship, not what you're intending to do. All right, that phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'll be back after a little break here with more Loveline. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Don't know what to say about Jay Moore, but I'm going to have Bert Kreischer up here, and he's going to help me have a few things to say about Jay. Apparently, he's at Disneyland tonight. Just found out. There you go. Veronica.
Hi.
Hey, what's happening there?
Not much. I have a question. Hello?
We're waiting on you.
Oh, okay. Throughout, like, the day, like, without even thinking about sex or, like, anything, I'll just, like, overly, like, come. Like, or I'm not, like, come, but just, like, wet. Like, really wet. Like, I'll have to, like go to the bathroom, like, a couple times just to, like, wipe.
That's okay. I mean, guys have spontaneous erections. This is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, but it's like a real problem because, like, sometimes it's just, like, really annoying.
Is it a discharge? Or is it...
Yeah, it's, like, discharge.
All right. And are you on any medication?
No. Like,
birth control?
Yeah, I stopped birth control because it, like, increased it.
Really? Sometimes the progesterone-predominant birth control pill will make it better. So you can talk to your doctor about that. But I'm not sure you really want to change anything because this is just you.
Yeah, but it just, like, because sometimes it just, like, ruins, like, my underwear sometimes.
But
you know? You
got to wear, a lot of women wear pads all the time.
Yeah, it's not like a bad problem or anything.
That's correct. It's not like a bad problem. If you're not, are you sexually active?
Yeah.
Is there any chance you have an infection?
No, not at all, actually.
You know, hurt doesn't hurt when you pee. You have no irritation. The discharge is
no, none of that.
Or funky smelling. When was the last time you had a pap smear?
Last year, actually. I actually asked them, and they like looked at me like I'm crazy. I don't know. They didn't really help me at all.
You asked them about the discharge, then?
Yeah, and they're
well,
like,
there really isn't much they can do. You know, the Depo-Provera shot will dry you up pretty good, but almost sometimes the point that really bothers people. But that's about it. I think the better part of valor is to just kind of deal with it. As you get older, it tends to calm down a little bit. But wear a pad all the time. Alan.
Yeah?
Hey, Alan, what's happening, buddy?
Yeah, about last November, my mom and my dad got divorced. Because my mom's an alcoholic. And just like a couple weeks ago, my dad got a new girlfriend. And, like, she has a son, and my brother and him have been fighting a lot, and my little brother, we're, like, not getting along, and he's saying I'm trying to instigate it and everything.
Right.
So, today, my brother told my dad that, like, I've been hating him and stuff, and so my dad says, like, if you like, ruin me and Tyler, my mom's girlfriend's relationship, I'm going to make your life a living hell and stuff like that.
So Al, I'm so sorry. This is like a real... Were things okay before your parents broke up?
No, they're just getting worse.
You know what you need to do in situations like this? If you... Yeah, I'm sorry your dad's being such a jerk.
Yeah.
But he is, and it doesn't sound like you can count on him right now. I don't know why he can't see what he's doing to you, but maybe something like this happened to him when he grew up, and he just thinks it's an okay way to behave. But one of the strategies you can use is just stay out of the house. Stay outside with your friends. Get involved in some sports or some activities where you can sort of build some esteem and something you feel passionate about, music, whatever. Get involved with it and do it all the time and do it away from home, away from your brothers being a pain in the ass, being away from your dad, being away from the new girlfriend whom you hate. Just get out of there. Find a life with peers and an activity that you feel good about that makes you feel good about yourself. That's about the only, it's your best strategy. And then get out and go to college and have a successful life. That'll be your best revenge. Justin.
Hello?
Here we go. What's happening?
Hey.
My question is, why do girls like jerks?
Well, what exactly do you mean?
Like, I don't know, I'm a nice guy, but, like, I don't know, I get rejected a lot. And then, like, you know, I see, I come across girls all the time that are, like, just jerks, like assholes. Or, sorry, just, you know.
Well, I talked about that about a half hour ago, right? You were hearing me when I talked about how some people like to be or are very attracted to people that reenact abusive circumstances or exploitative circumstances from earlier in life, and they just find that immensely attractive. And for whatever reason, those are the girls you're attracted to. So, a certain percentage of these girls are going to have had a rear end full of this by the time they're 24 or so, and they're going to switch over to nice guys and realize that they can't convert these a-holes into something that they wish they would be. And you'll have your chance, don't worry. But here's the problem. You can't be busy rescuing people and trying to be the nice guy. That's not what people want. They want somebody to be present in a relationship. Like, if you... Do you date very frequently?
No, not really.
Why not?
I don't know. I work a lot.
That's BS. You need to start dating. So you get good at dating, taking people out, understanding how to have a relationship, how to socialize properly. Somebody wants you, what she wants from you is to go, hey, I got a great place we're going to dinner, and here's what's going to happen. I'll pick you up at 7 o'clock. I want you to be in charge of that and create an experience for somebody and be present in that relationship. To sit back and go, I'm so nice. Why are they hanging out with the bad guy? That, are you kidding? That's the most unattractive thing on earth.
Okay.
Stop it. Start dating people you're interested in. Hang out with people you want to be around. Learn how to do that. Ahmad?
Hi.
What's happening, buddy?
Hey. I have a question. I'm 23, and I'm still a virgin, and, you know, I'm in college.
Good times.
So I go to a lot of parties and everything. You know, I'm a really nice guy, but I just can't tie the knot with a lot of girls, and I'm wondering why. You know, I'm a good-looking guy.
I don't know what happens. I don't know you, Ahmad. It may shock you to find out that I haven't been following you around at these parties, but what happens?
Well, basically what happens is, you know, I'll flirt with girls and I'll talk to them for a while, and they'll be interested in me. You know, I like to talk about politics and stuff like that, which can bore some, but for the most
some
part, entertain women.
I've been doing this show for many, many years. A nice political debate is not something I have ever heard anybody say they're looking for when they're dating.
Yeah.
Why don't you put that aside?
Save that
for the classroom. All right, what else?
Oh, my God,
that'll put people off. So what else?
This is kind of embarrassing, but sometimes, you know, I'm into internet porn, and, you know, like, I feel somewhat addicted to it, but
I'm sure. You've not been engaged in reality all these years. Of course, you've got to have something.
Exactly. Well, I just feel like there are pretty hot girls online, and that makes me less attracted to the girls I see at parties, and that makes me less confident in turn.
That's sad. That's just sad. It really is. That's sad. Here's the deal. Oh, boy. As soon as you actually make physical contact with somebody, actually a human being and not your computer screen, the porn preoccupation will suddenly magically melt away. I mean, not to say that it'll stop, but it will not seem as alluring. It will not be a reason for you not to go after somebody. Actual physical contact will take priority. The problem is you're not even getting to the point where you have contact with anybody. And, of course, it's very easy to stay in your little pretend world when there's no human contact. Of course, the fantasy is far better when you don't actually have a human being to touch. But once you actually have the experience of being around another person, that's a such much fuller experience, it will have its own momentum, I assure you. But you've got to get to the point where you actually are touching another person.
Yeah, I understand that. I guess it's just hard for me because I'm not attracted and I really want to be attracted. I don't.
All right, well, give people, I'm just saying, give people a break. I know they don't look exactly like the girls you put your sights on the porn, you know, downloads, whatever you're doing. Open up your mind a little bit to the possibility that you could find a good experience from somebody who doesn't look exactly like the strippers you look at on the porns. Frank.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, well, I wanted to comment that I think I know how the victims are able to find the victimizers. I think it has a lot to do with the person's voice, not only the pitch, but also what they talk about and how they say it.
Give me an example.
For an example, there's, I'm not going to mention the name, but there's a famous radio talk show host who sounds like the victimizer or a bully, if you will. If you listen to his voice very carefully, you'll notice that he sounds sort of like gruff or gravelly, like a bulldozer, if you will. Now,
so the victimizer, the victims look for that?
The victims look for that, yes, they, subconsciously. Maybe not. And also, the victims, they tend to have a high pitch. Not all.
Well, the victims sound like children.
A lot of times, yes.
Yeah, they sound like kids. And when you sit on the radio all night and listen to them like I do, you can really almost hear the age they were when they were traumatized. It's like they get arrested, and their voice continues at that same age, particularly women. You can almost, I mean, if you just close your eyes and listen, imagine how old is that person I'm talking to. You think 8, and you look, and they're 23. Something happened when they were 8. Dylan.
Hello.
What's going on?
Hi. I have a problem. I'm not really sure how to address it. It's kind of embarrassing.
All right. Just put it out there.
I have a girlfriend. I've been out with her for 2 years. Her name's Stephanie, and I don't really give out details on the radio and everything.
Hey, like by the way, if this is so embarrassing, you don't want to give out details. Give out your girlfriend's name?
Well, it's kind of general, so you might not, you know, really know her, but beside the point.
I might not really know her. You're right. I might not. But a lot of people might know Stephanie and Dylan, so okay. Go ahead.
All right. We've been going out for, like, 2 years now, and she's patient with me and everything, but I have this kind of problem that I don't really know how to deal with it. Before, you know, we get things going and everything, do, like, foreplay or whatever, and I can't really keep myself from kind of, you know, pre-ejaculating, I guess the term is, but I don't know. My friends say it's not.
Pre-ejaculating or ejaculating?
Yeah, pre-ejaculating, before we get anything going. And so I'm not.
Pre-ejaculating is stuff that leaks out before you ejaculate. You're talking about ejaculating before you have sex.
Yeah, it's before we get actually anything going.
And then are you able to get going again?
It takes me a while, but it's kind of, because I can't really satisfy her.
Why?
Because I've already done kind of. I can't really go again straight away.
Why?
So I'm not really sure if I should, you know, take anything, or maybe if it's something I can do beforehand to like keep my.
Why don't you belly up for a second round?
It takes me a while. I don't know why.
That's fine.
Normal?
Why'd you fact?
What
is that normal? Is not a question. I'm offended by it. Those of you that call with bogus calls, do not ask me. Is that normal?
Okay.
Just don't ask me that.
Okay.
Because then it just there's nowhere to go. If it's bogus and there's something to talk about, at least I have something to talk about.
All right.
But yes, you should belly up for another round with her. Factor in how long it takes you into what it is you two do together, and then you're good. And then the previous experience of just unloading some some bullets from the chamber before you're really ready for the real thing. Ashley. And by the way, put a condom. You know, make sure the. Practice birth control. I mean, put a condom on before. I don't want to think about that mess. Ashley.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm 20 years old. I'm a virgin, and I've hooked up with guys, but I can't seem to actually go all the way with them. Like, I don't want to touch their penis. I don't want to be around it. Like, I like...
You're afraid of them?
I think I am. Like, they've tried to get me to
touch.
See,
the problem is that they're attached to guys like Dylan!
What?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. They've tried to get me to touch it, and, like, I know that I want to have sex, but I just, like, I can't bring myself to do it.
Is that with a boyfriend?
Boyfriend, guys that I've dated, just, I can't get myself to do it.
Okay. Well, maybe not ready yet.
Well, yeah, but I guess. But, like, it freaks me out. Like, I don't like it, like, when they get erections. It really freaks me out. Is there anything,
Do you have any Yeah, there are. Do you have a recollection of seeing something when you were little that sort of freaked you out that way?
I don't think so. Not
magazines or get exposed to pornography or something like that?
No, not when I know.
Nothing like that. And what's the longest relationship you've had?
About 2 months.
Well, first of all, you need to get a better relationship going. I mean, you need to get a relationship where you can really kind of work this stuff out. What is your fear? What, do you have a fantasy that what's going to happen with these guys, with their anatomy?
I don't think that it's more a fantasy. It's just the thought of feeling. I don't. It's the thought of feeling it that really, honestly, freaks me out.
So like, there's not some fantasy that something's going to happen, or
no, I'm not. I don't think that I'm afraid that it's going to attack me or anything, but...
I didn't say it. It's interesting you brought that up.
No. But I don't know. Like, should I go to therapy, or is there anything that I can
I think you certainly can, and certainly that would be of use to you, and there's ways of desensitizing to that kind of thing. I think before you spend a lot of time and effort doing that, though, you ought to work on getting a relationship... One that's not merely 8 weeks duration, one that you can really settle into for a few months or even a few years and kind of work these things out with that person with whom you feel safe and trusting. That's what you need to do. Elaine?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on there?
Not much. So my question is, both my parents are alcoholics. My mom is recovering, and we have a really close relationship. We're cool. So I started dating this guy about 2 months ago, and I'm noticing he drinks a lot. And I'm wondering if it's me being hypersensitive. Like, I'm not sure.
No, this is what we've been talking about all night, is that you're attracted to alcoholics. That's your fit with who you love, with people that fit that sort of spectrum of the unique genetic makeup that which makes up the alcoholic.
Okay, and that makes sense.
That's what happens. The daughters of alcoholic fathers marry alcoholics or drug addicts or pot addicts or something, but more often than not, alcoholics.
So,
and here you go.
Walk away and find something else, or is that what I'm doomed to?
You know, there's a couple ways to look at that. One, that's your fittedness right now, and that's what you sort of love. And if you're going to manage that in a healthy way, you're going to have to change it somehow. One of the ways, obviously, to go to therapy. The other is to go to Al-Anon, do 12-step, get a sponsor.
That's what my mom told me.
Because then either A, you will magically not be quite so attracted to the using alcoholic, or B, you will be better able to manage and maybe get this guy into recovery. Did you say both your parents are in recovery?
Well, no, not my dad. My mom is for, 5 years.
Yeah, and so she's telling you to go to Al-Anon, right?
But see, I'm wondering if it's me turning him into having a problem, so it's probably he really does have an issue.
Because you're attracted to him, I know he's got a problem.
Okay, there were other people who haven't had this issue.
Yeah, and you had those relationships you sabotaged, got frustrated with and bored and left.
Yeah, well.
Magic how that works.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, okay. So it's not me being hypersensitive. It's just
magic how I knew that. How about his dad? Is his dad an alcoholic?
No. Well, I know both his parents pretty well, and they drink. But I haven't ever had a vibe that they have any alcoholism going on. Mm. I mean, I'm not that close and personal with them, but...
Come on.
They drink. I keep thinking I'm hypersensitive to it. You know what I mean?
You are. But you've got great radar for it.
Yeah.
You like being around it. You're tense. You know, you're sort of attracted to it. So does Dad have an alcoholism problem or not? On your scale?
Dad?
No, his dad. On your scale.
On my scale, no.
How about his mom?
No. I mean, they're completely normal. I mean, if having a glass of wine at night, like,
I'm not saying they're out of control alcoholics like your dad may be right now.
That's what I feel like. I don't really know, like, what is, because I never thought my mom was an alcoholic either.
All right, you got to go to Al-Anon. You kind of can't see it yet.
Yeah,
all right,
exactly.
Go to Al-Anon. Go to Al-Anon. Okay?
Cool.
Pretty simple.
All right.
It's good. This is a good situation. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Okay?
Okay.
All right,
Thank you.
Care. Let's see. This is Kathy. What's happening, Kathy?
My son is 3 months old, and I had him circumcised when he was 2 months. It was really late, but his original pediatrician refused to do it, saying it was cosmetic purposes only.
What?
But I did more research and found out that, prostate problems come up later in life and a cleanliness issue.
All kinds of things happen. But you requested it, and they refused?
I requested it, and I requested it after birth. And she said it was a cosmetic thing only, and
But you requested it.
I'm
sorry, but I would report that pediatrician.
Oh,
Okay. She didn't refer you to somebody who would do it. If she doesn't, she doesn't have to do it. But I think that's negligence. I really do.
But I had him circumcised at 2 months after I switched pediatricians because mm-hmm. there's other issues with her.
What else happened? I'm just curious. What else?
He was having breathing problems, and I brought him in, and she said it was nothing. We went as far as having chest X-rays, and she kept saying, "Oh no, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine." And I'm not an expert. I don't know anything about it. And it turned out he had a really severe case of pneumonia to the point where he almost died.
You got it. This person needs to be reported, I think.
But we ended up switching, and he ended up being circumcised at about 2 months.
Yep.
And it took longer to heal because of the, postponement of it.
Sure.
And now when I diaper him, I see it looks almost bruised. Like, the tip of his penis, where the foreskin is removed, looks almost bruised at points. Like, it's purple, and I'm wondering if that's an issue.
No. Mm-mm. That's normal? Probably just normal. Yeah, and there can be discoloration, too, like even a pigmenting discoloration, or depigmenting sometimes. But that's normal.
Okay.
Okay.
And
if you see bruising anywhere else on his body, report that to the pediatrician right away, because he's undoubtedly been on some antibiotics now. He's had a bad infection. You can get some funky blood and clotting problems after things like that.
Okay. And another thing,
Henoch-Schönlein purpura that gets big bruises along their buttock and things. Ugh. Go ahead.
Okay. I contracted chlamydia when I was pregnant.
Good
and
time.
I know. Oh, amazing times. You have no idea. And I know that there's the eye infections that...
Yes, that the babies get, yes.
And is there anything else that I should be worried about?
With the baby?
Yeah.
Did they treat you during the pregnancy?
They did. I had a
Zithromax. You should be fine. No, you should be... You had what?
Zithromax?
Yeah, you should be fine. Don't worry.
And because my boyfriend cheated on me apparently a lot, and I contracted genital warts.
Fantastic. Oh my God. Thank you, Kathy, for reminding me. The wart vaccine is now available. Hear this, everyone within the sound of my voice. Anyone age 12 or older, whether you have warts or don't, go get this goddamn vaccine. It takes a series of three. It's a little expensive. It's about $100 per shot. So it's about a $350 investment. But it's 0, 2, and 6 months, and it will protect you permanently against all the wart viruses that cause cervical cancer. Get it. Everybody, if those of you still have warts, they're the benign kind. That means they're not going to cause cancer. There's a cream available called Aldera. Take care of that. But go get the vaccine. This is one of the most exciting. Been doing Loveline for 20 plus years. This is one of the most significant and exciting breakthroughs in my career. I mean this. Everybody go get this damn thing, okay?
Okay.
So there
and
you
is
go.
There anything for the baby that I should look out for?
No, Kathy, you're on top of all this. You've been looking around the internet or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Relax. Here's what you need to do. Take some deep breaths. The baby needs a calm mom. The baby needs to regulate his emotions by using yours. And if yours are flipping out and spinning, it doesn't make him feel safe.
Well, the whole pneumonia thing, I felt like it was my fault, even though I know I did everything.
That pediatrician, something's wrong with that pediatrician. Something's deeply, deeply wrong. And, maybe you can protect some other people from that. I don't know. I don't want to get too into whatever. I don't know who this person is, but I just think there's some very serious errors made there. Be that as it may, I wasn't there. I don't know. I don't want to judge not. You sound like you're smart on top of these things. You look on the web, ask questions, and just keep doing what you're doing, but calm down, okay?
Okay.
And get the wart virus vaccine. Get that vaccine. I'm not kidding. This is a very, very serious thing. And I'm going to keep talking about it every night from now on for quite some time. So get it. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Loveline. We'll be right back. That's right. We're back on Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191-er. And we've got Mike, who's going to tell us why girls like bad guys. I'm not having high expectations. Mike, what's happening there? Hey, Mike?
Hello?
What's happening?
Is this Dr. Drew?
Yes, sir. Enlighten us.
Hi. I was just calling. Someone called earlier tonight asking why don't girls like nice guys?
Yeah.
I think I know the answer to that. I think it's part of like a two-part question. The guy actually said, why do they like jerks and not nice guys?
Yeah. Oh, come on, Mike. You haven't waited this long on hold to have your phone cut off right in the middle of your erudition. We lost you for a second there, Mike. Go ahead. Yes. Why are they like jerks and not nice guys?
Hello?
Go ahead. Start over.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I think girls, like, do not like these quote-unquote nice guys, because these nice guys sort of come off seeming that they just want to be their friends, and it seems like they offer the opportunity of sex or, you know, a relationship too late. It's like they want to be their friends first and then try to become, say, their boyfriends, and I don't think that girls...
You're right. There's a little bit of a strategic problem there. I don't think that's that big a deal, because of a guy they were really into... also offered friendship, they'd move it along. The girls would move it along. The women would move it along.
Yeah,
so,
that's true, but it also seems like those guys aren't big in their moves either. And,
right. I think that's the bigger issue, is that they're so unassertive and unpresent in what they're trying to negotiate that they end up at seeming like just this sort of guy that's hanging out rather than somebody who's really interested in pursuing them. Women want to know when you're into them. It feels good to be pursued. They like that. Now they want to be able to say no too, and you got to be prepared for that. But they, you know, that's where it goes. All right, Mike. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye. This now is Valerie.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, we're good. What's going on?
Great. Okay, so I've been dating this guy for 5 months, and since the beginning, he's just really been like standoffish, you know, whatnot. But I'm a very sexual person. I love to have sex, and he won't give me it. He just wants oral sex all the time. And I've asked him, hey, you know what, like, well, what's going on? Like, is it me? Like, am I not sexy enough? You just want me to go down on you? And he won't answer. And I'm thinking, is it, like, trust issues?
Why are you still in this relationship? He's standoffish. He doesn't like the same things you do. He won't have sex with you when you want. Won't answer your questions. Why are you in this relationship?
Just kind of like I guess he treats me really well when we're together, and I've been without a boyfriend for a year, so I guess it's just someone to have.
Right. This is a desperation move. All right. Well, you get what you got. Maybe you ought to just take some time out and date a little more.
There's nothing wrong with me. It's just
Valerie. When it comes to guys and sex, it's almost never about the women. Almost never. There are those guys out there.
He just likes oral sex.
That's right. And there's a lot of guys like that. They're just into that, and it just doesn't get better than that. And that's why this whole idea that if you read magazines, if you read Cosmo, you'll figure out how to really get the guy what he really... No, guys tell you exactly what they want. Exactly. That's the problem. You can't get them to do anything except just that thing that they want, and that's it. Once they get you into position, the one that they've got in their mind that's their sweet spot, they're keeping you there. So don't worry about reading magazines about how to, put him over the top. No, he'll take you right there, and that's it. That's his spot. They'll put you there. Unfortunately, for women, it tends to get kind of boring and tends to kind of seems kind of, they need more adventuresome and change and variety, and men don't. So you got to bring them along with that, okay?
All right.
And if you can't, if a guy is not responsive to you and doesn't hear what you need and what you're thinking, doesn't value your feelings and how you're experiencing things, that's not a relationship. Sherry.
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering if you could help me. I'm in an abusive relationship, and I just recently found out that I was pregnant.
Fabulous. Well done.
I'm
well
16,
done. How old was your mom when she had you?
She was 26.
How old was she when she had your first sibling?
My first sibling? Me and my sister are actually 16 months apart, so 25.
Okay. All right. So what do you want to do?
Should I tell him that I'm pregnant or just get out of the relationship?
What are you going to do with the pregnancy?
I was actually thinking about keeping it, but I'm only a month along, so I have that option.
What about adoption?
I don't think I could give my kid away.
Couldn't do something really positive for the kid, like getting him to a family that's prepared to take care of him or her? Couldn't do that to her child?
It's
opposed to being raised by a single 16-year-old that won't know who her father is and whose mom hasn't finished high school yet and can't afford to buy diapers. That's what you want to do for the kid? Couldn't possibly give it away to somebody who's really ready to raise a child. That'd be too wrong for the child.
No. I could do that, but...
Right. It'd be courageous to do that. That's right. It'd be very courageous.
With him, though, a few months ago, I actually tried to break up with him, and we're at a party, and he got really upset,
and he actually slipped me a roofie.
Where'd you get it?
I don't know. But I was passed out after, or not passed out, I couldn't move after one beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually asked my friend about that, and she said that it was a roofie day rape drug or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he would do if he found out if I was pregnant.
Sure, I don't understand what you're looking for. How can we help? What is exactly...
Should I tell him that I'm pregnant or get a restraining order or...
I think this is not a relationship. I think he will have a right to know if there's a child at some point, if indeed there is a child. And,
would he go to jail, though, because I'm underage and he's 25?
You certainly could send him to jail.
Okay.
You certainly could send him. However, he'll have a financial responsibility for this child if the child is born, and that will be just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is an out of control situation. Where are your parents?
They're at home. I'm actually at my friend's right now.
Have you told your parents what's going on here?
I haven't told anybody but my friend.
What about your parents? What about telling them about the abusive boyfriend, about the pregnancy?
I don't know how they would react. Like if they would throw me out or.
Parents tend not to throw kids out. In fact, they can't at 16.
I've been out before.
Why?
Because I had been into drugs before and messing up in school and stuff like that. So I went to live with my uncle.
And where is he now?
He lives in Lacey.
All right, Cherry, I just feel overwhelmed by this entire call. This is a total mess. You obviously have done nothing with your drug addiction. You've now converted that into an abuse.
I've been clean and sober.
You're not going to meetings. You're not going to meetings. No way. You don't have a sponsor. You're not doing 12-step. You've been abstinent for a while, and God knows you're probably still smoking pot. But look, you've got to get with a program. You need some support. You need some sort of supportive services to get you through this, help you make some decisions. Maybe go to Planned Parenthood, sit down and talk with them and try to work this out. Sit down with a counselor and try to figure out what to do here. I think you're going to have to include your parents in some of this decision-making,
mm-hmm.
and I suspect the sooner you do that, the better. But if you want to help yourself first, maybe just get to Planned Parenthood, sit down, have a conversation about what it is you want to do and plan things out and figure out how to get the support you need. Julie?
Hello?
Hey there, what's going on?
Hi, I'm wondering if I have a codependency problem.
All right, what's going on?
I've been with the same guy for the last year, and he was in a past relationship, and we were friends, we go to school together and all this stuff. So we had this friendship, we ended up having a great bond, they ended up breaking up, and then, you know, a month or two later, we were together. Well, he's continuously been friends with her and her family and all that stuff, which I don't know.
What's your question?
Well, he doesn't want to tell her about me, and I think that's weird.
That is weird.
And he's telling me it's offensive because you were the girl hanging around, so that her and her family...
Oh, I could see that, too. I could see why he would feel sort of guilty about that.
Well, me, too. And I'm trying to be, you know, respectful of what he says and not be a psycho girl.
Is he okay, otherwise a good boyfriend?
Well, yeah. This is the only issue we've ever had.
Does he still hang out with that ex-girlfriend?
Not that I know of.
Then forget it. Drop it.
Just drop it?
Drop it.
Okay.
Beat it. Adrian.
Hey, Drew. What's going on?
Good. What's up?
Dude, okay. Like, last night, me and my girlfriend were having sex, and about 2 minutes into it, she just passes out.
Hmm.
Now, I was trying to look for things on the internet to see if, like, what that could be, and I had no info.
How long was she unconscious for?
I'd say about a good 3 minutes.
Is she on any medication?
No.
Nothing? She takes nothing?
No, well, she's on birth control pills, but I don't...
You know which one she takes? That's medication. You know which one she takes?
It's that pink one that, you know, you can turn and...
Did she have any description of what happened? Did she just all of a sudden was awake and then suddenly unconscious?
She said she was, like, dreaming.
She fell asleep?
Like, she was, like, having a dream. I was like, what? That's kind of weird.
And, that's a problematic symptom. Does she sleep normally? Does she ever fall asleep in weird situations otherwise?
She sleeps normal.
And when she came to, was she oriented?
Yeah.
And has she ever had any heart problems or heart rhythm problems, palpitations?
She had an abnormal heartbeat. That's what she has.
Okay. Well, she may have triggered that during sex and may have actually dropped her blood pressure and become unconscious. That's actually a very serious thing. She needs to see a cardiologist. That's probably what happened. Does she have something called WPW or Wolf-Parkinson-White syndrome?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'd have to ask her, you know.
All right. This needs to be looked at further. The most important thing is to be looked at from a cardiological perspective, why she dropped her pressure and became unconscious.
So take her to a cardiologist?
And if she's had previous cardiac stuff, I mean, that really should compel you along to do that again. All right. This is Julie.
Yeah?
Julie, what's happening?
Hello. Yeah, this is Julie.
Julie, talk. Here we go.
I was just wondering, I'm in a dilemma. My family's super prejudiced. We're white. And I've been dating...
How old are you?
I'm 25. And I've been dating black guys since I was... No, I'm white. My whole family's white. And I've been dating black guys since I was, 18 years old. And, my mom found out about it right before she died, about 4 years ago. And my dad started going out with my mom's youngest sister, that's 12 years younger.
Jeez.
And she dropped him after a year dating him and went out with the black guy. And now she's with him, and he's furious because he's black. And he always makes these comments about...
What's your question for us? What's your question?
What do I do when I visit him, once or twice a... about once a month or once every 2 months, he's always making comments about black people and black guys especially, putting them down. I mean, real rude comments. And he knows I go out with black guys, but he's making them about my aunt going out with these black guys. But
here's the deal. He is showing how severely low his self-esteem is, how profoundly, diminished he feels, so he has to attack other people and try to cut everybody else down to his size.
Uh-huh.
Number two, you tell him that if he doesn't respect your friends and the people that are in his life, your life rather, he can't be in your life. You can't stand hearing that. He needs to control it. That's it. Very simple. If you can't say those things to him, just start avoiding him. That's all. Cindy?
Hi. Something really stressful happened at school today, and now every time I, lift my right arm, I get this, bad tension in my neck and chest, and...
What happened?
Tight. Just some incompetence in the administration. You know, it's New Orleans, and...
Another levee broke?
No. There was a bit of a storm today, but nothing...
I heard they dispatched troopers to your city.
Yeah, there was a murder of 5 teens. They said the worst in 11 years.
Oh, that's a little stressful.
But we're in finals now, too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, it's finals.
Two semesters in 6 months, 6 days a week of classes, that kind of thing.
All right, Cindy, hang on a second. I'm going to have to take a break. We're going to come back to you, okay?
Thanks.
Hold on 1 second. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be back with Cindy and the New Orleans troopers and the deaths and the, what did she say, teen deaths? But they're finals, too. Finals, mind you. That's much, much more significant than the deaths. So, anyway, we'll hear more about Cindy after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. Anderson just prompted me to review again the new vaccine about the human papillomavirus. Apparently, some of you have been calling in about that. Something I'm very excited about. Human papillomavirus, HPV, is the virus that causes wart. It's the virus that causes cervical cancer. Cervical cancers are what your doctor screens for when he does a pap smear, or he or she does a pap smear. Cervical cancer kills young women. Cervical cancer should be eliminated from this planet by this vaccine. This vaccine covers the four subtypes of virus, the HPV virus, that causes cervical cancer. Everybody should get this vaccine, even if you have warts, because having them means you have, at worst, one of those three bad ones, at best, none of the four bad ones, and you still need the protection against the bad ones. And there's even some evidence that if you have warts, they may be more apt to regress if you take this vaccine. It's a vaccine it's a three-part vaccine. You take it now, 2 months, and 6 months. It costs about $120 per vaccine. It's a little expensive. Insurances, I don't believe, are covering yet because it just came out today. Maybe it came out Friday. But it is just out. Check with your doctor. Check with your local pharmacies. It's a frozen vaccine, I believe, so it has to be given right away. And check with Planned Parenthood, places like that. But within the next few years, everyone should be having had this vaccine, and it will soon be part of the normal pediatric vaccine administrations, like with measles, mumps, and all that stuff, because this is revolutionary, guys. I am telling you, do this. If you still have warts, if you have warts, you see them, they can be treated easily now with a cream called Eldera. This is back to Cindy. Okay, Cindy, something stressful happened. It wasn't the teen murders, right?
No, not at all.
It was finals.
It had to do with finals, just some kind of glitch in the administrative office with me having to take my finals. Not important. It was just basically someone didn't know what they were doing, and I got super stressed out because finals in law school, that's your entire grade.
Right. Were you at Tulane or something? Were you in school?
Yeah, that's where I am.
Oh, good times.
Yeah.
And now you can't lift your arm over your head?
When I lift my right arm, the left one doesn't bother me as much, but, like, I get this tightness around my collar and my chest. This happens fairly frequently. I mean, I'm starting to get concerned about it.
Okay. Typically, without having the sort of advantage of being able to examine you, there is something called costochondritis, where you get spasm of the rib musculature. Mm-hmm. Also, any problem with your neck disc, cervical disc disease can cause funky symptoms like this. As can thoracic disc problems. It doesn't sound like it's specifically something related to the shoulder. It sounds more like the thoracic musculature and or the spine. And that's something you ought to have an orthopedist take a look at.
Would bicuspid aortic valve have anything to do with it?
No. Do you have a bicuspid aortic valve?
I do, yeah.
I can't think of any other associated. You don't have Marfans or anything funky like that, do you? You don't have any, you're not real, real tall?
No. I'm small, and I keep in good shape.
Yeah. I know the bicuspid aortic valve, you need to have echoes done regularly, right? Because the your aortic valve is the major outflow valve from the heart. It normally has three parts to it. And some people are born with just two.
Yes.
And when you have just two parts, it tends to degenerate as you get older, and you can end up with something called aortic stenosis. So it's important that you get regular echocardiograms.
Okay.
Okay? And that'll be on your law school test tomorrow, too, is that right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
See an orthopedist, all right? Orthopedist. That should evaluate this.
Okay,
the chest
thank
wall
you.
Thing. All right, bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right, this now is Marlene. Hey, Marlene.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I'm calling because I have a boyfriend, and he says he loves me, but at the same time, he's dating a girl. So I don't really know, like, what's going on, if he has some mental problems or something, because he doesn't decide for me or for that girl.
You said something rather strange. You said he's dating you and he's dating a girl. Are you not a girl?
I'm transsexual.
You're post-op transsexual?
Yes.
So you're completely externally girl?
Yes.
So he likes girls?
Yes. But, like, I told him, I'm like, do you want to go out with me and stay with me? And he says, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know if to stay with my real girl or to stay with you. I'm like, what's wrong with you? So I don't know what to do.
Break up with him. He sounds like an idiot.
Okay.
Do you only date guys?
Me, yes.
I mean, can't you get a guy that treats you a little better than that?
Well, I love him a lot, you know? I give him everything. I pay his car, everything, because I love him, but now
he's... Marlene, you sound like you've been duped. I don't mean to sound too negative, but you're a sap. You've been taken advantage of.
I know, huh?
Yeah.
But I'm going to listen. I'm going to cut him off.
There you go. Okay. All right, you take care, all right?
Okay, then thank you.
All right. Transsexuals in Fullerton. That's pretty interesting. I just didn't know. Sarah.
Hi.
What's up?
I broke up with my boyfriend about 5 months, or we went out for about 5 months, and we just broke up about 2 months ago. And I never used to have a lot of sex before dating him. He was my first boyfriend. And now, like, I started having a lot of sex, and I just am wondering, like, what the psychological reasoning is behind that, or if that's normal or whatnot.
Sometimes women, when they're angry at men, kind of go on a tear when they've just broken up, and they're just sort of, you know, I don't know what that is, but I've seen people do that. How many guys have you slept with?
Since we broke up about, like, in May, it's been, like, four.
Yeah. You just, don't worry. Do you want to have a relationship?
I was always the kind of person who really wanted a relationship and was always really, like, I want to get married. And now I'm just, like, I don't even want a relationship.
Because this guy hurt you so badly?
He didn't hurt me. Like, I still really love him. I actually broke up with him because, like, we just weren't compatible.
What happened?
I felt like he didn't have that many goals.
But he didn't do anything bad to you or anything?
Mm-mm.
Aren't you kind of disappointed and angry with that, that it sort of failed you, that relationship?
Maybe.
That's what I find. People, when they've been hurt as a result of the breakup, women will go do this for a while as a sort of a, I don't know what it is, but they're sort of trying to drown their fears in other guys. And the reality is usually what happens, you start getting disillusioned and depressed, and you decide you want a relationship. So I just keep that in mind, that that's probably what you really want behind all that. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Because you've been what?
I've been starting having, like, a different kind of sex. I started having rough sex, and, like, I don't know, it's just different, and, like, I'm getting, like, a thrill out of it, and I never used to do that. Like, I'm completely changing personalities, and I don't know, like, why.
Are you drinking more?
I don't drink.
Because why?
Because why what?
Why don't you drink?
Just personal choice.
Are you an alcoholic, do you think?
No, I never drink.
Is it in your family?
No, I just, like, my parents raised me not to drink.
Okay. All right, good times. We'll see what happens. I just still think you'll still want a relationship. Maybe want the best of all worlds. Maybe some guy that can do that thrill thing for you and the relationship. We'll see. Be right back. That about does it for Loveline tonight. It's got about three comments. One, Jay Moore, dude, you let me down. So I'm expecting you back here. A. B. Get that HPV vaccine, y'all. That will be the end of cervical cancer. C, I want to thank all of you for calling in tonight. Interesting calls. Be sure to call back tomorrow night. We've got Joanna Angel from Spin Magazine. She's like a sex columnist or something like that. But we'll see how that goes. Until that time, I will say goodnight to y'all and stay well.